Again, good morning. A welcome to our guests again. We thank you for joining us. It is a great pleasure to have you here. I did forget one announcement. WMO Fall Startup Meeting will be September 15th at LRC's, and pasties will be served 6:30 sign-up sheet, or will be served at 6:30, and there's a sign-up sheet in the narthex. Okay. This past few weeks and the continuing few weeks have been rather busy with weddings and all kinds of other things and trying to take a small vacation, and it's just run together. And it was kind of interesting when I started looking at texts for this week. I found a text that personally addressed all those things I wanted to do and I found important. And I came to understand that it is something that we all need to be addressed. Many of the things that we want to do when we become Christians are thrown out. They're thrown out because most of the things that we want to do come out of our own selfish needs, wants, and desires. And this morning, Jesus talks about the cost of following him. And it's really about leaving our life behind. And the wonderful thing about God is he does not leave us alone. He gives us the desire to follow him, the ability to follow him through the power and the working of his word and the Holy Spirit. And because of this, I can bring each of you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text for this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, verses 25 through 33. And I would ask, as you are able, to please stand for the hearing of the word. Reading in Jesus' name. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come after me, and hate not his father, and his mother, and his wife, and his children, and brethren, and sister, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation is not able to finish it, and all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king is going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consults whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends an ambassage and desires conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Amen. Please be seated. We start out this morning with a great multitude. A great multitude were going along with him, and he turned to them and said to them. And so, when you deal with a great multitude, it really defines who Jesus is addressing. He's talking to all of us, the multitude. And he's going to tell them things that are quite hard for many people to hear. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father, mother, wife, children, brother, sister, and yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Jesus always talks about loving our neighbor. And yet this morning, in our text, we hear we must hate our family. our parents, our spouse, our siblings, and yes, even our children. This seems like a great contradiction. The problem is we really don't look at this properly. When we hear these words, we usually, for the most part, ignore them because we don't like what they say. It hurts our sensibilities. But Jesus is talking about the cost of following him. Jesus wants us to understand that everything in our lives as a follower of him comes in second. Now, in a modern American theology, family is first. First and foremost, it must be family. And yet, this goes directly against what Jesus is teaching of. He wants us to know that even in our relationships to our families, he is to be first. There is nothing that is more important than following Jesus Christ, including our spouse, including our children, our brothers, our sisters, our parents. Now, does this mean we abandon our families? No. But Jesus Christ is to be before our families. And in doing this, and in being a true disciple of Jesus Christ, we will end up loving and caring for our families and our neighbors much more so than in our own ability. Many times we use our families as an excuse not to do the things that we know we should. And Jesus is talking about taking this excuse away from each and every one of us. You see, the problem is we as human beings are selfish. To the point that almost everything that we do is selfish. Even in our service to Christ, we do things so that we are lifted up. So people will talk about how good we are, about what a wonderful person we may be. It is not ourselves that is important. It is Jesus that is important. Because he asks us to go to our death. And he compares it to his walk on this earth. Whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be to my disciple. When Jesus goes into Jerusalem for the last time, he knew what he was doing. Jesus knew that all those people that were there cheering for him, saying all the wonderful words about him, were in a few short days going to reject him. And they would call for a murderer to be set free instead of him. He knew he was going to be beaten. He knew he was going to be ridiculed. And worst of all, he knew he was going to take our sin upon him. The sin of the world would be put upon him. He would be rejected by God and be nailed to a cross to shed his blood for our forgiveness. What he was doing was going completely against his nature. The Son of God became sin for us. And this is the cross that Jesus Christ bore. And now he tells us that we have a cross to bear. When Jesus Christ speaks of a cross, he speaks of death. It's not just a pretty decoration that hangs around our neck or in our ears or is on our walls. It is an instrument of torture and of death. A death that he was willing to receive for us. And then he asks us, as his followers, to take up our cross. And this really means a denial of self. A denial of our selfish wants, needs, and desires. A death of wanting to do everything that we want to do, and a new life of serving the other, of making others more important than us. Sometimes in Christianity, especially in American theology, Christianity is looked at, if you become a Christian, you're going to be a happy, wonderful person. Everything is going to be rosy in your life. It's a lie. And that's why Jesus Christ is telling us these things. There is a cost that we will face on this side. We will be ridiculed. We will be laughed at. And in some cases, we will be persecuted. This should not come as some great surprise to us. We see it even today in the media. We're ridiculed for our beliefs. Is that any big deal? No. Jesus Christ said we would face these things. Is God still on the throne? Yes. Paul considered it a blessing that he could suffer for Christ's namesake. Should it be any different for us? Governments rise and fall. Our blessings are not whether this nation is Christian or not. Our blessing is whether Jesus Christ is our Savior. Because in the end, He will take care of all of these things that we worry about. Most of the time when I get up here, you hear me talk about free grace. And it is most certainly free. Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for our sins, asking nothing of us. He did it 2,000 years ago before we even had the ability to think about it. That's when He died for our sins. But there is a cost of following Him. For some of us it will be great. For some of us it won't be that much. We who live in this country are blessed. We don't have to worry about gunmen, for the most part, walking in here, government sanctioned, and arresting us all as we come and we worship. And yet, I talked to my friend Linton, who is a pastor in Sri Lanka, and he worries about his life every time he gathers on the beach to preach the gospel. There's a cost to following Jesus Christ. It means giving up ourselves. And Jesus wants us to understand that we should count this cost. Because he says this, "For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost, to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it will begin to ridicule him and say, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish it.'" The first example that Jesus uses here is the building of a tower. Well, most of us don't build towers. Unless, of course, you're a deer hunter and you want to build something up in the air so you can hunt. But you don't have to usually calculate the cost because that comes out of scrap. But how many of us build a house? We count the cost. For the most part, when you go into building a house, you know exactly what that house is going to cost. And in fact, right now, you can go on the internet and you can get a formula that says this is how many square feet you got, this is what it's going to cost you. And it'll be pretty close. You don't just start by digging a hole, laying the foundation, and then realize, I don't have enough money. When I was growing up, there was a house on my way to where my camp was that was started. I was probably 10 or 11. And they put the basement in the ground and they capped it off. And then about 2 years later, they put all the framing up. And about 10 years later, the thing collapsed on itself. Now, I don't know the exact reason why that happened. But in a lot of cases, it was because they may not have known what it was going to cost. Jesus wants you to understand, to follow him, there is a cost. It's a giving up of your life. The cost is that you're going to serve others. That others are now more important than your own wants, needs, and desires. That you are now a servant. This is not easy. And I would probably bet, in fact, I know it's true because I've talked to enough of you, that our older members will say, this is just as hard today as it was when I was young. Again, the idea when we're young, well, when I get old, then I'll be better. I'll be able to serve people better. Guess what? This flesh stays with us all the time. It is only through the power of God, by His Word and His Holy Spirit, that we are even enabled to serve others. And this is really our calling. This is the cost that we pay, that we would leave our life behind and look to serve humanity. Not just those fellow Christians, but the world at large. There's a whole world out there that needs to know the love and the compassion of our God through His Son, Jesus Christ. We saw one aspect of it this morning with the Jesus film. But there's an aspect that we can do in and of ourselves each and every day as we leave here. We can serve those who we would say, quote unquote, are in the world. Our calling is to love all of those people. Because that is part of the cost. And he goes on to give another example about the cost. What king going out to encounter another king in war will not sit down and first deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is still a great way off, he'll send a delegation to ask for terms of peace. I think this is a great deal. If you look at it, you got a king up there that goes, well, I'm going to go to war with that king, but I got 10,000 guys, he's got 20,000. I should figure this whole deal out. Can I match? Are my generals smart enough to beat his 20,000? And if not, I better go figure out how that I can have peace with him. The king is counting the cost. The cost in lives, in his treasury, in all those things for the war. Jesus wants us to count the cost. Now, the other side that we didn't talk about, there is a cost here. But the reward is absolutely spectacular. Because at the end, as a follower of Jesus Christ, when we come to the point where verse 33 says this, so therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has not, all he has, cannot be my disciple. When we come to that point, we've counted the cost. And we've chosen not to reject the grace that is offered through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We will face tough things. We will be a servant. We will be asked to give up things that we don't want to give up. And yet, the blessing and the reward is much greater than anything we could possibly give up. For we are the children of God. We will spend eternity with God. We leave our life behind. We take up our cross and we follow Jesus Christ. We go to our death to get a new life. One that is much greater than anything we could even imagine on this side. And this is what we are called to do. Leave our life behind and follow Him. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we do give you thanks that you have sent your Son. And Father, that he denied himself and went to the cross, taking upon our sin and drowning it in his blood. And we ask, Father, that you would help us to become followers of him. That by the power of your Holy Spirit, working through your word and working in us, we would become selfless. That, Father, we would look to you first and look to the other and know that this is you working in us. Father, continue to work in and through us as a body, and as individual members of your body, that when we would leave here this morning, we would go out and spread your love, your grace, your goodness,
and the message of the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ, to all that we can come in contact with. In Jesus' name.